First of all, good job, kiddos. Wonderful job. Today, we start Catholic Schools Week. So happy Catholic Schools Week to all of our students here. Today, we have a great week prepared. We have a lot of fun things to do every day. And so at this Mass, the children, the school children, are taking part in the ministries at Mass. Just real quick, the word education, right, comes from two Latin words. It means, first of all, there's this Latin word that is ducere, okay, and that means to lead. And then you have the prefix ed, right, which means to lead out of, okay? So when we think of education, you know, it's not necessarily like I want what's in my head to be in your head, right? But it's a teacher. The vocation of a teacher is to lead a student out of error into truth, right? And the beautiful vocation, we have a few of our school teachers here, Miss Pascal, fourth grade, Mrs. Bailey, third grade, Mr. Kirkland, middle school science, Miss Seiler, second grade. I think that's all that are here this morning. They're coming to different masses. But there's a very beautiful vocation of the school teacher, right? Because what is entrusted to them is to lead students out of error into truth, right? To be their leaders, but most especially to lead them to the truth, right? Capital T truth, that is Jesus, right? And so let's pray for them, and let us pray for our students and our school community this week. In the gospel today, Jesus begins his public ministry, right? So he begins his ministry of teaching and healing and performing miracles, right? And when we hear in today's gospel, in today's first reading and gospel, we hear about like all these places that Jesus went and all these towns and villages, and they really don't mean anything to us because, I mean, I don't know. I've never been to the Holy Land, right? And all these places, I don't even know if they exist. So it's very easy to really kind of just pass over them because, I don't know, they don't really mean a whole lot, right? So I think that this gospel should come with a map and a geography lesson, right? So that would be very, very helpful. But it's really important to understand, I think, what's going on here. Because the Gospel of Matthew, they mention, you know, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Mentions it twice, right? Twice, just back to back. And then the first reading mentions these towns. So I think it's important just to briefly understand the context, kind of what's going on here, so that the scriptures can be powerful in our lives and speak to us, okay? So John the Baptist has just been arrested, right? And so the gospel tells us that Jesus goes to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, right? To Capernaum by the sea, right? So here what Jesus is doing is Jesus is going north, okay, to begin his public ministry. Now, what do I mean by that? So go back to the Old Testament. Go back to 1,000 years before our Lord, okay, to 1,000 BC, during the time of King David. Okay. In the Old Testament, God made a promise to King David that he would establish his kingdom and that the kingdom of David would never end, that it would last forever. Okay, and the kingdom of David was founded upon the 12 tribes. You've heard that. The 12 tribes of Israel, right? The 12 sons of Jacob. Okay. So what happens? After God promises in about the year 1000 BC, you see this split in the kingdom. It looks like God's promise is not being fulfilled. So you have two tribes remain in the south. This is the kingdom of Judah. Whenever we hear of the word Judea or Judah, this is like the southern part of the Holy Land, okay? So two tribes remain there. The other 10 tribes are in the north. That's the kingdom of Israel, okay? So you have these 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south, and they're at war with one another. Okay, this is almost all through the Old Testament. Over the next few hundred years, these two kingdoms, Judah and Israel, they're going to be invaded. Okay, the south will be invaded by the Babylonians. They send them into exile, and then a few years later, they come back to Judah. Okay, but in the north, those 10 tribes of Israel, they're invaded by the Assyrians, sent into exile. But the thing is, in the north, they never come back out of exile. The Assyrian exile, the Jews are forced to mix with other pagan nations and pagan peoples, non-Jews. Okay, so what do we see here? We see in the Old Testament how God's people, the chosen people of Israel, they're basically kind of wiped off the face of the earth, of the map, right? So notice, what does Jesus do in the gospel today? It's very specific. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Remember that, always. What does Jesus do? Jesus, to begin his public ministry, he goes north. He goes to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, the place where God's people were exiled and never brought back, where God's people can no longer be found. And so our Lord goes north, and what does he do? The first words that Jesus speaks in his public ministry, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So our Lord goes north, and he's there. What is he doing? He's reestablishing God's kingdom. And how does he do this? He calls apostles. How many? 12. Jesus doesn't call 10 or 11 or 13, right? He calls 12. Because he is reestablishing the kingdom of Israel, but not the kingdom of Israel of the Old Testament. He is reestablishing a new kingdom, a new Israel, a new family of God. You see, he's establishing the church, the body of Christ, of which we are all a part. So you see, friends, that I think it's very providential that we are in Catholic Schools Week as well, because remember, you know, a teacher is, you know, leads out of error into truth. And so Jesus is the divine teacher. He's always a teacher in the deepest sense of the word. Notice what he is doing. Jesus is calling his people out of exile, out of sin. Repent. And he's leading them to the truth. He says, "Come, follow me." Jesus is that truth. And he's there to lead them to a new promised land. That is the kingdom of Israel. Friends, this is very powerful, very, very powerful, because it speaks to what Jesus wants to do in each of our lives. That Jesus wants to lead us out of exile into his kingdom, into his truth. But in order to be led by our Lord, we must be humble enough, and vulnerable enough to let Jesus lead us there, right? Because one of the basic human temptations, I think, is we want to be in control, right? That's just it's part of being human, but it's also part of our fallen nature, I think, that we want to control everything. My life, my decision, my finances, my politics, everything, right? We just want to, we have this need to be in control. But friends, as long as we grasp for that control, we cannot fully allow Jesus to lead us, to allow him to be in control, and to cooperate with him in my life. So in order to be, for us to be led by Jesus, we must put aside our objections, any hesitancies, put aside my control, my plan, thinking that I know what's best, right? And trust him that he knows what he is doing. Jesus wants to lead each and every one of us, friends, out of darkness into his light. That's why the first words that Jesus speaks, right, is he says, repent, turn away. Turn away from where you were going before. Turn away from your sin. And he says, come follow me. Allow Jesus to lead you where he wants you to go. This is the only way to heaven, right? It's the only way that we can be saved, is to allow Jesus to lead us. Because if we think that we can save ourselves, if we think that we can just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, right, we will fail. We cannot save ourselves. The most important thing, one time I heard someone say, they said, the most important thing that we need to know about God is that I'm not him, right? Is that we're not him. And that God is love. And he has this plan for us. And he's not going to set us up for failure, right? He never said that following him would be easy. Some write it's downright difficult, right? If it's not difficult, we should maybe ask ourselves, am I really following him? But what does he promise? What does he promise to those who do follow him, who do allow, let go of control, and let Jesus lead us? He promises happiness. He promises fulfillment. One thing about today's gospel that I always find fascinating is that when Jesus calls the 12 to come follow him, they had no idea what that entailed. They had no idea. They didn't know the suffering. And I mean, Jesus didn't say, hey, come follow me, and in a few years, you're going to die a martyr's death. He didn't do that, right? He simply says, come, follow me. And I think in our lives, the same is true. You know, when God, for instance, just in my own experience, when God calls a man to the priesthood, he says, come, follow me. And you don't, and it's like in marriage, it's like in any calling, right? Whenever God calls us to do something, especially if he calls us to really sacrifice, at the time when we say yes, we don't know everything that's going to involve. And it's probably better off that way, to be honest. You know? It's probably better off that we don't know. If we understood, it's kind of like this. If we knew all of the sufferings that we would experience in our life, it'd be really overwhelming. You know, and it'd be a little bit more difficult, I think, to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, you know, even after you've told me everything that I'm going to have to endure, right? I think in his love for us and his providence for us and his love for the apostles, he calls them. They don't know everything that's going to entail. But what do? They drop everything and they follow him. Why? Because they trust him. What does the gospel tell us? The gospel a little later on says that the apostles followed Jesus wherever he went. And yes, they did follow him physically. But it, on a much deeper level, it means that they followed Jesus wherever that went. Whether that meant joys, but many times it meant sufferings. In their case, it meant the cross. They followed Jesus wherever they went. And that's what our Lord asks of us. No, we don't know everything. When we say yes to the Lord, in big decisions like vocations, fine. But also in little decisions, you know, the daily decisions of our life. When we follow the Lord, No, we don't know everything that that entails. We can't see the future, and that's okay. But what does our Lord ask of us to do? He simply asks us, trust me. Trust me. Let go of control and trust me. I know what I'm doing. I'm leading you out of exile. I'm leading you out of sin. I'm leading you to the light because he is our Savior and he is love. So let us ask the apostles today that we may follow in their footsteps, that we may follow him wherever he goes, because at least we know that, that if we follow the Lord, whether that bring us to joys or sorrows or successes or failures, at least we're with the Lord. And that's the only place that he wants us to be with him always. May it be so. Amen.